When you see them, long stalks with big bursting blue blooms on them, just absolutely gorgeous. Lily of the Nile and Agapanthus is what they are, but it is a beautiful plant and is going to be blooming all over town in the next couple of weeks.
It's so, Agapanthus season.
It is Agapanthus season. There's no doubt about it. It's a nice looking landscape plant too. Mine were beautiful all winter. They didn't bloom, of course, but they have nice foliage, kind of a low growing plant with strapped leaves, if you will. Very, very pretty. And so Agapanthus, but you're going to see them around town, folks, and just admire them because it really is a pretty time for them. Kind of like the Amaryllis have been.
Oh,
if
yes.
You drive around town, they have been absolutely gorgeous and will continue in some respects. Just a great spring color. And, of course, there's so many other plants that we can talk about for the spring. But those are just two that come to mind.
Anytime we get to see some new blooms, because, you know, everything is pretty much blooming all year round here. Like, we get something at some point in time. So it makes me happy when we get to see some new color.
Oh, yes. There's no question about it. And there are so many. We don't even have the time to talk about them all. So many of the perennials that people are using, some of which are really, some people really haven't heard of, but a lot of the garden centers have got some very unusual, pretty blooming perennials. And you've got to kind of pick and choose, because sometimes those perennials, they'll bloom quickly, then they're done.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to landscape your yard with plants that will put up, for example, with our summer heat and continue to bloom, I've got a little list here, and before
excellent.
The show is over, we talked about this the other day and never got to it, but there's just some very basic blooming annuals that really will put up with our heat. Because you want your yard that you work so hard on and you spend so much money on to be really pretty all summer long. And so some of these plants will do that, some won't. So we'll talk about that.
Oh, absolutely. And just a reminder, I see you all starting to hop on in. 437-1620. That's 437-1620 if you have a question or want to send us a picture.
Right. I need to mention one other thing.
Tell
before.
Me. Oh,
I just had a list of things I really wanted to say. Because this is personal. a couple of years ago, I got Pensacola Energy to put in a gas line into my house.
Sure.
Okay? And it's perfect. I love it. I love my gas stove and gas fireplace and that type of thing. Anyway, the bed around it has gotten a little overgrown, and I want to take out the plants and put in new plants. But this is why I wanted to mention it. If you have the same situation in your yard, if you're landscaping around a gas line that's coming in, or even a cable box, if you will, you dial 811. 811 will tell you, they'll come out. I guess, sure, I assume they'll come out. I haven't done it yet. Will come out and tell you where you can dig and where you can't. April, for example, golly, I didn't even have my notes on that. April was safe digging month. So we miss safe digging month. But it's because no one wants, they say in their propaganda here, no one wants a weekend project to be the cause of internet, phone, and cable outages. So in any event, and you certainly don't want anybody to get hurt.
Well, yeah, we don't need to hit a gas line.
You don't need to do that. And they will tell you where you can dig and where you cannot. So I just wanted to mention that because I have that flower bed is getting overgrown. It's in my front yard. It's kind of ugly, and I really need it to look nice.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to do it until I find out where I can dig, where that gas line is located.
Right. Just a note to self, before you start digging, especially deep, everybody, just stop, put the shovel down, and maybe dial that
811.
811. Please do not call the police department. Hey, we've got some texts rolling in. 437-1620. Good morning to all of you. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Jenna Barr. I'm here with Mike Wiggins. This is The Garden Line here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Empire Zoysia sod was planted 5 weeks ago, our listener says. When can I fertilize and which fertilizer should I use?
Good question. Great question. And it really goes for Empire Zoysia, St. Augustine, no matter what kind you have, and centipede. Insofar as fertilizing it, I always say let's mow it twice. Now, what we don't want to do is to scalp it. We don't want to do that. We put our mower at the correct level. For Zoysia, it can be around 2 inches. Centipede, 3. St. Augustine, 4. Put it at that level And once you mow it twice, and you maybe just be clipping the tops off of it, then you can fertilize. And if you're going to fertilize, I would use, let me give you some formulas. And we've talked about this before, but this is important. Use a good quality fertilizer. You may have to spend a little extra money on it, but a 16-0-8 formula, a 15-0-15 formula. I even saw one the other day that was a 22-4-4. Point is, you want that first number to be bigger than the other two numbers. All fertilizers have three numbers. Be sure that first number for your spring fertilizer is the larger number. Then look a little bit at the fine print. Be sure that it has iron in it. Be sure that it's slow release. Be sure that it has sort of a long list of minor elements. And put it on at the rate that is recommended. Usually it's about, 7 pounds. Let's put it this way. Probably one bag of fertilizer is going to cover 5,000 to 7,000 square feet. And so that's general. But each fertilizer will tell you different on the label, because it obviously depends on the size of the bag. And so look at that and put it out at the right level. Then I would water every day for 3 or 4 days. Let's get it way down where it's going to do some good. And that's what you got to do. That's what you have to do. But one thing else, Jenna, we've talked about before, some people want to put lime on their yard also, like St. Augustine.
Yes.
We want to put lime on it.
Yes.
Be sure to put 2 weeks between the fertilization and the lime. Quite frankly, if I was going to do it today, I'd go ahead and put the fertilizer. Here we are, we're in May. It's a good time to do it. The grass is about out of its dormancy, and it's a great time to go ahead and fertilize. I would do that. Then in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever, then I'd go ahead and put the lime on. The lime goes on a little heavier. Usually it's about one bag for every about 1,000 or so square feet. But that's how I would do it. That's the schedule I would follow.
Excellent. Love that advice. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break, but I see you all popping in. I see your pictures. I'm going to show Mike those on our commercial break real quick. Please continue to text those questions. 437-1620. You're listening to The Garden Line.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
At Beret Jewelers, we didn't just build a new jewelry store. We created a second home. A place to celebrate life, love, and happiness. A place to invite friends. To talk. To play. To learn. A place to bring the kids. Relax. Catch the game. And toast life's greatest moments. Welcome to Beret Jewelers, Pensacola's home for fine jewelry.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back.
Woo!
And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
A healthier you is the first step toward a healthy baby. When planning a pregnancy, baby steps toward better health can deliver big results. Exercising regularly and eating a balanced diet will help you reach or maintain a healthy weight and increase the likelihood of a healthy baby. Taking a multivitamin containing folic acid every day helps prevent birth defects, and regular medical and dental checkups are especially important when planning for pregnancy. To learn more about taking your baby steps toward a healthy pregnancy, call Florida's Family Health Line at 1-800-451-2229.
Local news four times an hour, morning and afternoon.
A Pensacola man is dead and a local woman critically injured in the wake of what could only be described as a child exchange gone wrong.
Santa Rosa County School Board holds an emergency meeting to discuss the status of the district's mandatory mask policy. It's widely anticipated the board will rescind that policy or make masks recommended only.
Pensacola's all-day news station, News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Thank you.
918 here on the Garden Line on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. We see your texts. We see your pictures. We see your videos. You guys.
Really?
Yeah,
video.
We have
never
video.
Had a video.
We're going to have to do that next break, but I promise you, we see them. Hey, people are texting in 437-1620. One of you sent a beautiful picture of these flowers. It looks like they're white, fluffy.
It's like a bridal wreath. Yeah.
Is that what it is?
I think that's what that is, absolutely.
Okay. And is it wreath or reef?
Bridal wreath.
Wreath.
Okay. Yes.
All right. So that's, yes, you asked, are these called bridal wreaths? Yes, they are. Also, we have somebody who sent in a picture of, it looks like their lawn. And apparently this is centipede lawn. They have centipede on their lawn, but they have these large brown circled areas. It almost looks like from that movie with Mel Gibson or with Joaquin Phoenix. You know what I'm in by M. Night Shyamalan.
Exactly.
It looks, there's like just random circles, and they just need some help. Are those dead areas? Do they need fertilizer?
Well, here's, you know, sometimes it's hard to tell from a picture. You almost have to go out and look at it. But the way the picture looks, it looks very typical of our old favorite brown patch fungus. And a lot of people will tell you, well, this fungus, that's a summer deal. It's too early to worry about it. But that's not really the truth. I'll never forget, I had some visitors from the state come in one time, and we were talking about lawn problems in Pensacola. I said, let me show you some fungus here. But it's too early. They said, oh, no. That brown patch fungus loves the spring and the fall. The way this circle looks in the pictures, I know our listeners at home can't see this, it is a nice-looking centipede lawn with just a big circle of brown with a little bit of green in it, not much, but a little bit. But that's how it grows. And if you look generally on the edge, and I don't see it on this picture, if it is that Rhizoctonia brown patch fungus, it'll have a kind of a burnt brown look around the edges of it. This doesn't show that. And it also will have, in the center of the dead circle, and this one may be 8 feet, maybe 10 feet in diameter, will also have a little bit of green coming back in the center, and that's called, the experts call that the donut effect. But that's exactly what this looks like to me. What I would do is go ahead and spray it with a fungicide, and there are many of them on the market. And then if you spray a fungicide, you do not want to spray a fungicide if it's going to rain. You just don't do that because it's not any good. It needs to stay dry for 48 hours after you spray it. Then repeat it again in about 10 days. That's what I would do with this particular situation. Now, the only other thing I can imagine would be if somebody's used some weed killer, and maybe that has damaged the grass, but in that circular pattern, that I think that's probably a remote. That would be another reason, or it just is an area that doesn't get any water at all. That's possible. But you know, one other thing that lawns, I've noticed in some lawns, you'll have a spot like this that just won't grow grass. And a lot of times, if you look back in the history of your lawn, of your home, it could have been a spot where a tree was located, and a Frederick or an Ivan or a Sally or somebody took that tree down.
You've said this before.
Yeah, and the grass has kind of grown over it, but the subsoil there is just not going to sustain that grass. That, I'm kind of reaching on this particular picture, but on some lawns, that's a fact. So I'm going to go with the fungus at this point.
Okay.
And that's what I would do, is spray it with a fungicide.
Okay. Start with that.
Yeah,
all right,
that's
and go
what I
from
do.
There. Hey, keep us posted.
I love seeing what's
happening with all of you. Hey, that movie that I just botched was called Signs. It's been a minute since I've obviously watched it, but it kind of looked like that with the pattern.
Exactly.
Hey, somebody texted in a picture of their drift roses, and they would like to know, should they prune them? Should they trim them back? How do you take care of the drift rose?
Well, I tell you, I would not prune them back now. Drift roses, I always use the term is a new plant, but of course at my age, you know, anything is 10 years old is a new plant. But drift roses have been used all over town, and everywhere I go and I see them, they're a low,
Yes.
And I hesitate to call them a ground cover, but they're very low plant. You can mass them and they'll just cover a mass of flower bed. They're beautiful. I would treat them like most other roses. I simply would not prune them now, enjoy the blooms and all of that. Then we'll do some pruning and cleaning them up next year, you know, in February and that type of thing. If, though, they get out of hand, if you prune them back, it wouldn't hurt them.
Okay.
But it might inhibit some of the blooms. But keep in mind, a rose is a rose. Didn't Shakespeare say that? A rose by any other name would smell so sweet.
Yes.
But anyway, I don't know why I said that.
It's beautiful.
But a rose is a rose, and you need to treat them like most roses. You need to be sure they're watered. And these roses, of course, do not prefer to be watered from the top, because when the water sits on the leaves, it'll create a little bit of fungus or disease or that type of thing. Oh. Also, heavy fertilization once a month. A good rose fertilizer, and you can buy that, specialty fertilizer. So water and fertilizer are very important. And the drift roses are just similar to most other roses. They really like the sun. If they're in heavy shade, I think you're going to be disappointed. This particular person who's texting is obviously not disappointed, because they really are a beautiful plant. A lot of people are using them nowadays. We've all kind of grew up with the knockout roses, and this drift rose is sort of a one that people are drifting to. How's that?
Yes, there you go. I'm loving all the puns today.
Oh, yeah, we got a few.
Hey, please feel free to call or text in 437-1620. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, it looks like we have a phone call coming in. You're listening to The Garden Line.
Spring has sprung, and it's time for your favorite weekend activities. It all starts with a stop at Barnes Feed Store. Now's the time to get your hands dirty planting your favorite flowers and vegetables in the garden. What will you grow this year? Barnes Feed Store has been helping gardens grow better for generations. You'll sure have the best-smelling backyard while grilling those burgers on your Big Green Egg. Now you can get the Big Green Egg and accessories at Barnes. Get your gardening, grilling, pet supplies, and so much more at Barnes Feed Store in Inslee on Old Palafox.
What'd you do this time, Brad?
I'm in the doghouse after my hunting trip last weekend.
Yeah, I was too. I blew off our date.
How'd you get out of the doghouse?
Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. I got her a gift card. It took 3 minutes at swmedspa.com. She booked it this Saturday.
Saturday? So 9 holes then?
Tee times at 8.
To enjoy a hassle-free guys weekend, treat her to a gift card from Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. Follow Stillwater's on Facebook or Instagram to enter contests and win great prizes. Or visit swmedspa.com.
It's time to turn the page and kick off a new year with delicious foods at Great Southern Restaurant Group. Join them tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel when Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, will discuss their upcoming menu additions and many other delicious events to mark on your calendar for the upcoming months. That's tomorrow morning at 9.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
I've heard said news is the first rough draft of history. Okay, then let's write it together. It's Cooper Davis here, news director for News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. And I'm looking for the next great radio news pro in Pensacola. Impactful news happens every single day. Injury accidents, severe storms, law and order, politics, telling Pensacola's story. I invite you to apply and join our growing local news team. Submit your resume to HR at newsradio923.com. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
If you knew Peggy Sue, then you know why. 9:27 here on the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. I'm Jenna Barr. Hey, 437-1620. We see you all popping in this morning. Hey, good morning, Dan. You're on the Garden Line with Mike. What's your question?
What do you say, Dan?
Hey, good to hear y'all again. Hey, a couple of years ago, I bought 2 yards of that fine mulch from ECUA when they used to deliver it. And a friend of mine had about a 36-inch circle bare grass in her yard. There was never a tree there, but it wouldn't grow. So right. I got a 5-gallon bucket of that fine mulch, took it over and dumped it in there, spread it out, and that stuff grew together. I was over there the other day. You can't see where it used to be. I also had a place out by my corner of my yard by the stop sign where my sprinkler just doesn't quite get all the time. And I put some of that out there, and my centipede grew to it for a year, but now it's lacking because of this you know, sprinkler just hadn't been getting to it that good. But that vine mulch from ECUA filled in that 36-inch circle pretty good. I can't even see it was there.
Yeah, and I have to tell you this. If you had asked me, should you do that, I probably would have said no, putting a pine mulch over turf. But I am so pleased to hear you had some success.
No, it wasn't pine.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't pine. It was the fine mulch.
Oh, the fine mulch. Oh, okay. I see. Which was probably what you probably did was add a total organic fertilizer to it. Sort of like, not unlike Milorganite, which is one that's been around for years and years and years from the city of Milwaukee, which I think is basically the same thing. So good for you. That's good to know. I'm still waiting for a phone call from the ECUA folks to tell us about what they're selling now and what they are recommending its use is. I've said in a flower bed you could put some of that organic material and it would be a positive thing. But I really would love to hear from them because as far as putting it in a vegetable garden, I think I would say no. Putting it on the yard, a little bit heavy for that. But I would love to hear from them. But what you're saying to me, Dan, really is a good news. If that fine mulch worked, maybe it'll work for others.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Love that.
Appreciate the advice.
Dan, thank you so much for calling and listening. Hey, we still see your texts and calls coming in, 437-1620 here on the Garden Line. But, hey, we're going to take a quick break and say good morning to Mark Jacobs in the newsroom.
Morning, Mark.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Fine, sir. Yourself?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Charlie Crist, remember that name?
I sure do.
He wants to be governor again. We'll have the latest on that coming up after Fox News.
Fox News, I'm Lillian Wu. The Supreme Court weighing whether certain crack cocaine offenders could benefit from a 2018 federal law.
The final scheduled oral argument of this session centers on sentences for low-level drug offenses. But work is not done. The court is expected to hand down orders and opinions through June. Cases still left unresolved include the latest challenge from conservative-led states to the Affordable Care Act and a case about whether the NCAA is illegally capping education benefits.
Fox's Jared Halpern, and more severe weather could be in store for parts of the South.
After over 50 reports of tornadoes the last few days, we're in for another round of strong to severe storms, including twisters for cities across the Deep South, up into the Ohio Valley and back through the Southern Plains. Heavy rainfall over saturated ground will cause flash flooding in some neighborhoods.
Fox meteorologist Janice Dean. America's listening to Fox News.
It's 9:31 at News Radio 92.3, AM 1620. 78 and cloudy, I'm Mark Jacobs. Former Florida governor turned congressman Charlie Crist wants the old job at the governor's mansion back. Crist served as Florida governor from 2007 to 2011 when he was a Republican. He's been serving in the 13th District of Congress as a Democrat since 2016. Some other Democrats listed as possible contenders in the governor's race next year include Congresswoman Val Demings and State Ag Commissioner Nikki Freed. In announcing his move today, Crist says Florida should be a place where hard work is rewarded, justice is equal, and opportunity is right in front of you. We're seeing progress on efforts to resume service on the Pensacola Bay ferries. A picture from one of the ferry docks showing the boat called Pelican Perch. It appears ready to go. Mayor Grover Robinson telling us he'd like to see service resumed, perhaps as soon as this coming weekend. Pensacola Bay ferry service knocked out at the same time as the Three-Mile Bridge during Hurricane Sally. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
Temperatures this afternoon will be nice and warm. 82 degrees for the afternoon, dropping into the 70s overnight. That low tonight near 71. For Wednesday, the rain will continue. 70% chance of rain showers likely, that high near 81 degrees. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
78 in Pensacola, 79 in Gulf Breeze. It's 80 in Milton at 9:33. Our next news at 10 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs, News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. Stocks are broadly lower as tech shares retreat. The Dow Industrials down 171 at 33,941. The NASDAQ's down a sharp 275, the S&P 500 off 40. Shares of microcap Precipio Incorporated, a specialty diagnostic company, up 46% after the company said its COVID-19 rapid antibody test is now available on Amazon's business platform. The 20-minute test was awarded emergency use authorization from the FDA in December. Michael Jackson's estate prevailed over the IRS on several key issues, an outcome that will push the estate tax burden below the government's initial assessment. The tax court judge ruled the singer's name and likeness were worth $4 million when he died in 2009, not $161 million, as the government had claimed. Top creditors of Sears, including vendors who supplied the retailer during bankruptcy, are still waiting for more than $80 million to cover bills. That's your money now.
And now, a step back in the news archives with the late John Appleyard on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
May the 4th, 1963, from the office of City Manager Homer D. Reed, this is 1620 Radio News. For all who enjoy Pensacola's downtown and its historic perspective, there is some startling news here today. City Manager Reed, with council approval, announced this morning that work will begin next Monday on a full redesigning of how Palafox Street circles around Lee Square. Now, from its beginnings here nearly 100 years ago, the street has had square corners at all points on the hill, with the brick paving added still another historic feature to the presence of the Confederate Memorial and other Civil War relics. Now, the street will be rounded into a new geometric form, ending the requirement for drivers to make complete 90-degree turns at each corner. This proposal has been before the council four times, and on each occasion there has been bitter opposition from some older residents, especially those whose homes are close by. However, Mr. Reed has pressed forward with the plan, which he says will do much for traffic flow and for the overall appearance of the square. The artifacts will remain, and new plantings will add to the attractiveness of the little park. The work will require, well, about 4 weeks. However, your reporter has learned that some of the opponents to the plan have not given up. There could be a protest walk up there as early as this afternoon.
You know more about what matters in your life because you listen to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. 9 till 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
We're rocking on through the Garden Line today. Good morning. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Garden Line on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. And if you hear that song, it means you better start texting in, getting those calls in, 437-1620. It's halftime. Hey, we have a bunch of people hopping in saying good morning. They're just able to turn on the radio here. I see you, Paul. Good morning. Hi, Catherine. Hey, she sent us this beautiful picture. Okay. And I did say that it kind of looks like a mix between a bamboo plant and a jasmine plant. And Catherine was wondering what it was. And so we're going to have to go on the hunt for the name of that one.
It has a look. The blossoms were smaller. The foliage wasn't exactly the same. But it looked like it could be a relative of a mandevilla, which, of course, is basically a subtropical, a tropical plant that we use in Pensacola during the spring and summer that just bloom their hearts out with these big white blooms. You put them on a trellis, just like this plant Catherine sent us, and it just runs up that trellis. They grow like a weed, and they are one of the most beautiful tropical plants that I think we can plant. A lot of the garden centers have them now, and they come in different colors. I just personally like the white one. And that's basically, I think, Catherine's picture resembled that. That's as close as I can get. So it may not be a mandevilla, but it certainly had those characteristics.
Hey, it's beautiful, though. I mean,
it is beautiful.
Like I said, it reminds me a little bit of a bamboo
Yeah.
Tree.
It's a very large woody stem to it. Exactly. So.
Hey, here's another question coming in. Yeah, and please, 437-1620, about 938 here on the garden line. What do you spread over bare spots to help your St. Augustine grass grow into that spot?
That's a good question. And let me tell you what I don't like to use. Some people, and people don't do it as much as they used to. It used to be sort of a rite of spring to get red clay and spread it over your yard. People did it all the time. Not the best thing for it. It can smother the grass and do some damage. If you've got those spots, a lot of the experts now are saying put white sand down, kind of like builder's sand, in those areas. I generally don't like to put too much down there. I usually use that. If you've got big undulations in your yard, that's kind of what I would use to kind of fill those and level the yard out. But a lot of people use that white sand in order for those stolons, and that's what they are in Centipede and St. Augustine, to kind of grab hold and start to cover. The important thing is to have that area prepared. In other words, you want it to be, turn it over, have it nice and soft and level, and water it first, and go ahead and put your sand on there then. Or you can just prepare it, fertilize that grass around it, keep it watered, keep the weeds out, and that grass will naturally cover. If it's level, it'll naturally cover. But the white sand is something that is used by a lot of people, and I have seen it used successfully.
Okay. And somebody said a little tip from one of our listeners. They recommend it possibly tilling the bare spot first.
That's what I'm saying, is turn
okay.
it. Turn
so
it.
Just turning
yeah,
it.
Yeah, because what you may find, that bare spot may be hard, it may have weeds in it, and that grass is not going to grow in there, but the texture is absolutely right.
So you don't have to rip the weeds out.
Yes. Oh, the weeds need to go. You need to turn it. You could, if it's a big spot, yeah,
sure.
Till it's fine. If not, just get a shovel and turn it, and then level it out.
I love when you give us little workouts, too, to do at home. This is great.
Oh, yeah, it's good for the muscles.
You build some muscle.
But yeah, oh, that's very important, because if you just throw a little sand on it, you're probably not going to be very successful. You've got to prepare. Preparation for sodding and putting grass in, I think, is about 90% of the battle. If you are prepared and you've got the capacity to water and you've got it all turned and level and soft and wet, then I think you're going to be on the road to success.
Okay. All right. Hey, here's another question. I'm going to figure out what this means. How do you feel about Milorganite?
Oh, Milorganite.
What is that?
Okay, let me tell you about Milorganite. Very
interesting. Okay,
it's a product. It's a product that's been around since, I'm going to say, the 60s, maybe before that. It is a product of the city of Milwaukee sewage system. It's a very organic byproduct of their sewage system.
And
they prepare it. It's a dry material. And a lot of people, and I recommend it, for a summer fertilizer on centipede. You don't, St. Augustine, you can come back and put that 1608 again, that high nitrogen on your St. Augustine or even
right.
your zoysia. But in the middle of the summer, like late June or in July, that Milorganite is a great product to put on your centipede grass. It's organic, probably not going to burn it, and it really works. It's good stuff. Been used for years.
From the sewage?
From the city of Milwaukee sewage system.
So does it smell like, you know?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it does not. That's one reason it's been so popular. But no, it does not. It's really a great product. A lot of people for that mid-summer centipede fertilization will use a product like Milorganite, or will use a granular iron, like an ironite. That's another product that's good for that mid-season centipede fertilization.
Okay.
And that's just a fertilizer that's granular iron with no nitrogen, phosphate, or potash, like the 1608 or the 2444, whatever you're using. So those are the two things a lot of people use midsummer for centipede.
Okay. All right. Hey, here's the same texter who was asking about the Milorganite. Now I know how to say it. and I know where it comes from. So, but they would like to know, is it okay to fill those areas with topsoil?
These are the areas that we're trying to...
Right.
The bare areas?
Add the Milorganite too.
I would not do that. I would treat Milorganite very similar to... I wouldn't use it on any grass until it's a new grass has established itself. You know,
okay.
The old two times to mow deal, I would still go by that.
Okay.
No, I don't think you need to mix anything with it. I really don't. I think if you've got nice, prepared, level ground that's turned over and soft, then you put a little bit of that sand on there, you're fine. And even without the sand, it should work. You just got to keep the weeds out. You got to keep it watered, keep it fertilized. Because that's St. Augustine, as we get into May and June, is going to take off. Those runners are going to start moving into that spot. Now, one other thing, this is important. If the spot's big, let's say it's 10 feet in diameter, that grass is just doesn't have the capacity to cover in there. I would either put some plugs, or what you might want to do if it's a say it's a 10-foot circle, go ahead and kind of bite the bullet and buy some sod and sod it. Go ahead and sod it, and you're done with it. It's all done. You've got new grass, and you're ready to go.
Okay.
Now, if it's a big, big, big area, then you might want to put some plugs. But only that sand and stuff is for very small areas.
Okay. So, but if you do have bare spots, can you put the topsoil there?
I wouldn't. I don't
no,
think
just
you need
let
it.
Go.
I don't
okay.
think you need it. I really don't.
Okay. All right. I love it. I love that the little things are called plugs.
Yeah. And plugs are a whole other topic we need to talk about. Just very quickly, just to tell you a little bit about the plugs. Plugs, it's like you can buy Centipede, St. Augustine, Zoysia
yeah.
plugs. They come in a little tray,
yeah.
and you take them out of the tray, and you literally plug them in your grass. Be careful, because a lot of the instructions that come with that say, oh, put them in 12 inches apart. That's too far, much too far. You're asking them too much to cover too quick. Put them closer. Put them 6 inches apart. Put them 5 inches apart. But then the critical thing about grass plugs is water. They take more water. And as you get later in the season, when you take that plug out of that tray, you're going to find, just like an azalea coming out of a pot, it'll be root-bound. Loosen those roots on that plug before you put it in the ground. If not, you may not have success. I've seen a lot of people do that, plant root-bound plugs, and it just didn't work.
Okay.
Just didn't work.
Oh, that's good to know. All right, it's about 9:45 here at News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. You're listening to The Garden Line. Feel free to get those last texts and calls in, 437-1620. We have a few more coming in, but we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
I'm Travis Thompson with Climateca Professional Air, the only American Standard heating and air conditioning independent customer care dealer in the Pensacola area. Tune in to Pensacola Expert Panel Thursday at 9:30 a.m. to discuss how we can help lower your energy bill and create a healthy, comfortable home. That's Pep Talk this Thursday at 9:30 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 till 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Escambia County's flood risk information has been revised, and updated flood hazard maps are now ready for review. Revisions may affect residents and business owners in unincorporated Escambia County, the City of Pensacola, the Town of Century, and Pensacola Beach. View the new preliminary maps and see how your flood risk may have changed and how they can affect building and flood insurance requirements. Find out what your options are at a virtual flood risk open house. For more, visit woh.nwfwmdfloodmaps.com.
CheckaPro Joe here. Is your attic hot? Are your electric bills high? If you answered yes to either question, tune in to the CheckaPro radio show every Saturday at 1 p.m. On the show, we discuss ways to save you money and be more comfortable in your home. If your attic is hot and you're uncomfortable in your home, you may need more attic insulation or a solar attic fan. Call Koala Insulation at 850-446-8525. That's 850-446-8525.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Almost 16,000 people follow us on Facebook for breaking news, weather, and traffic. No more wherever you are, because you like Pensacola's local news talk station. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Know more when you listen to the best variety of weekend talk, like At Home with Gary Sullivan and The Weekend with Joe Pags. Check the program guide at NewsRadio 92.3 AM 1620.
Garden Line, good morning to you. Hey, if you want to text in 437-1620, we see you. Somebody said, I wish the Garden Line was 2 hours long.
Oh, goodness gracious. You know, we could do 2 hours.
We definitely
could. Do 2 hours.
Hey, if because, somebody wants
I mean,
to
we
sponsor.
We are almost at the end of the show, and we have yet to talk about those heat beaters. Annual plants. We're going to do that next week, no matter what.
We're going to kick off the show
with
that next week.
We're going to kick off the show with our heat plant annuals to plant that stay pretty all summer long in Pensacola. We're going to talk about that. Now, most of the listeners to the Garden Line, I'm going to be quite frank with you, probably know all about that because we've got some pretty good gardeners who listen to us.
Well, hey, they
but
can
it might
text
be fun
in.
To, yeah. Yeah, we can talk about it.
We should make it a game show.
Great idea.
I think that would be
Jenna,
so
I like
fun.
It. I like it.
And my inner Vanna White is just begging to come out.
Oh, goodness.
Hey, this is a really cool question. All right. So this one, first of all, Catherine said there's a great article today in Pensacola News Journal on page 3B about container gardening. So if you haven't gotten your copy yet today, go ahead and grab a new one from your newsstand. Also, this one is actually in a container. This one of our listeners says, we have a few red banana medium-sized trees to plant. In our area, where is a good spot to plant them? So I guess in the full sun, partial sun, do they need to be against a fence to help them stand up? How do you water them?
No, well, number one, is answer the last question first. Water is important, very important for those banana plants. Do not put them in full sun. Put them in semi-shade.
Okay.
Not a totally shady area, but semi-shade. And they'll do fine. Of course, the way I understand it, and I have never been I don't grow banana plants, but it's my understanding that if you want to grow banana plants and actually have a banana on them, you've got to have 2 years' worth of growth. In other words, banana plants will die back in the winter, and a lot of people cut them almost to the ground every year, and they just come up so very fast.
Okay.
But if you do that, you're not really going to have any production on it. If you can protect that plant, or if we had a very, very mild winter, which sometimes we do, and say that tree, that banana plant's in an area that's protected from the cold, then you might actually have bananas. But it takes 24 months to get them.
That seems like the general time frame, though, for fruit trees for the most part.
It takes a while.
To start to see a plethora.
No doubt about it.
Okay, I love that. Please keep us posted, too. We'd love to see your pictures. Do they need to be near a fence? Did I miss that part?
No, I don't think so.
No, okay.
No, they'll grow by themselves. I do have a question for Catherine.
Yes.
Okay, this is going to be a silly question. You ready? I read that same article this morning very fast. And for plants that you put into a pot, now, Catherine, you're listening. I need a quick text answer to this. I know you know that there are three things you have to consider when you put plants in a container. Three things you may want. The first one is the first plant is a thriller. The second plant is a filler. The third plant is
a spiller.
A spiller. That's it. You got it. How did you know that? Good for you. A spiller. You want something dramatic. Then you want plants filled around it. Then you want something that's cascading
yes.
over it. Very, Jenna, very good.
Sorry.
Catherine, I'm sorry.
I stole your spot. I'm sorry.
Jenna preempted your answer.
Well, you know, it's because the
thriller,
other day.
Filler, and spiller.
I was at Bailey's, and I saw it, and so that's why. I saw one pre-made pot,
yeah.
and their stuff is beautiful.
Oh,
and
is
I was
pretty.
Like, should I just get one? You know, but yes, the spiller. I feel like, you know, Michael Jackson should jump out and start singing to us, right?
Okay.
Hey. Here's another one, and hey, if you guys ever want to pop in and answer these questions, you know we love that, just so you know, 437-1620, where can you find good ground cover roses?
Oh, most of your garden centers have them.
Okay.
I would certainly look at a Pensacola Seed and Garden. My good friend Larry out there has got some great stuff. I would look there. You might look at Warner Landscaping on the east side. Mm-hmm. They probably have some good. Those are two good choices, Warner and Pensacola Seed and Garden. You may find some at your big box stores, but I think those two local businesses would probably be my first stop.
Yes. No always question. Always start local. And here, roses are the topic today. Mine are just banging across the yard.
Oh, they're gorgeous.
And so an heirloom rose. So this listener has an heirloom rose. It's a climbing rose that she got from their grandmother's yard. I love that so much. It took me 6 years, our listener says, to get a bloom, but it isn't blooming much. What does it need?
Well, as I say, roses, most all roses need the same thing. They need water, preferably from the bottom, but not absolutely necessary. But they need that every 30 days, a good rose fertilizer. They're heavy feeders, and they've got to be in full sun to really, really do well. I saw the other day off Spanish Trail the most gorgeous climbing roses on a fence I have ever seen. I mean, it looked like a picture. People's roses are just going crazy right now, and that's wonderful. That is so much fun. Knockout roses, of course, are always going to do well. Mine are doing pretty good. But I think fertilizer and the full sun are important. Full sun may not be much you can do about it if they're already in the ground, but those two things are important.
Okay. All right. I love that. And it seems like, Paula actually texted and said that roses love banana peels.
Banana peels?
So do you put them at the roots? Do you put them at the base? That's a pretty...
Is that adding potassium?
Maybe.
Paula, I wonder if that's adding potassium to the soil.
I have seen people put coffee grinds, like used coffee grounds,
exactly,
into their garden. Hey, and here's a quick question before we take a break and get ready to wrap up. Is it too late for planting caladiums and what is that, clematis?
Clematis, we'll start there. Clematis is a great vining plant. If we're looking for climbing plants, clematis is really fun, grows very fast, really pretty blooms on it. No, not too late at all. Caladiums, no, it is not even close to being too late. Back in the day when I was in the caladium business, we would sell them almost up to the 4th of July. And you put them in the ground, they would just pop right up. So absolutely not. If you've got caladium bulbs, plant them now or even wait. I put mine in containers, and I did it about 2 weeks ago. Haven't seen anything coming up yet. It'll probably be late May before they're ready to pull out and put on the patio. So... no, caladiums, it is not too late at all. And that clematis is a good choice that may be underused. A lot of people don't plant it. It grows well even a little further north also. But it'll work here in Pensacola. So it's a great vining plant.
Love it. All right. Hey, we've got you guys weighing in. We're going to read these amazing text messages. But let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back here on the Garden Line.
Temperatures are rising, which means your AC unit is going to be working extra hard through the end of summer. The question is your AC unit ready? Get expert help by calling HR Newell Services to make sure your system will keep you cool this summer. Do you have a commercial project that needs HVAC, plumbing, or electrical? Call HR Newell Services to manage the entire project. When your commercial building needs HVAC, plumbing, or electrical, you need to call HR Newell Services at 850-572-3181.
I'm Escambia County Sheriff's Office Public Information Officer, Amber Southard. Join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. for ECSO News on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Your Escambia County Sheriff's Office will be discussing lots of topics, and we'd love for you to call in with questions or join us in our conversation. That's tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This Tuesday, it's a band that's graced the stages of Pensacola for the last 18 years. Touch of Grey will be playing rock and roll you remember at Bands on the Beach, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. Stop by the Cat Country tent and pick up something delicious from Buffalo Rock Pepsi.
What if the music stopped? If the familiar voices were silenced, if there were no breaking news updates, what if your companion and connection to your community came with a monthly fee? Don't worry, we're free local radio with you wherever you go. Celebrating 100 years and looking forward to the next 100. We are broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and let Congress know you depend on your local TV and radio stations. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Already here on the Garden Line, y'all, we've been having so much fun over here. Mike and I, we have still so many questions coming in. I promise you, I'm going to write them down so we can get to them next week. Hey, people like the idea of doing a Garden Line game show.
Oh, I think it's a great idea.
It's literally, hey, also, if you haven't done the listener advisory board yet, you need to make sure you go in and weigh in. Let them know. Let Davis Allen know you want a Garden Line gaming show.
There you go.
Listen, I'm here for it. Also, one of our listeners said that roses like those coffee grinds, the used ones at the base of their, their roots.
I've never done that, but I've heard that really helps. No question.
We're gonna
Very organic.
And also, Paul said that it's potassium and magnesium with the banana peels.
Right, potassium, exactly. Very good.
All right, guys, thanks for tuning in this morning. If you didn't get your question answered this week, we'll see you next week, 9 a.m. here on the Garden Line.